Peter Hill Explains, where I invite you to join the science teaching conversation with me about
unpacking the strategic suitcase. So this is a podcast I'm doing a while on lockdown exercise walk around. Fortunately, there's absolutely no one about the place, so that's a real great thing. It is actually freezing here in Australia. I don't know, there's an Arctic snap going up here in May. It's amazing to see it come on. Now, when I talk about a strategic suitcase, what happens after a series of strategic experiences, you are told you're going on holiday and you pack strategies into your suitcase, ideas, because you're going to have to get moving with your suitcase. You go to your hotel room, you open up your suitcase, and you can say, oh yeah, okay, well, I've got this particular strategy, I'm going to play it this way for the evening, you know, the dinner, something like that. This is something right here. And then after it, you've got this other series of odd socks and things like this, and you can say, oh, how does that go together as a strategy? And, you know, what's left over and how does this work together? So that's that sort of strategic remainders. You know, how do you put that together? The idea of putting it together is when having made conclusions about how people think and efficiencies, this is the idea of putting together a scaffold of different scales. It's like a code. It allows one person to enter at one end and decode what they don't know, what they think they know, and what they don't know. There's a gap. So they think they know about protons, but they don't know that it doesn't have a surface. And I just had a very insightful discussion with someone who said, well, no one's going to believe that. You can't possibly believe it because you can't possibly conceptualize something without a surface. So, fuck off. Oh, I shouldn't say that. Fuck off. All right. You go, very well. That has not actually changed the physics of anything. And it hasn't changed a vast amount of science. It hasn't changed the technology. But thanks for your opinion. But giving that opinion, well, that's the way it is strategic now. And then you move up. You move to a scale of the sun, and the general phenomena of a candle and the heat rising, that stops at the sun scale. You can't, that doesn't, well, if it doesn't happen on this candle, it can't happen in the sun. Well, I should say, fuck off. And then you go up to a bigger scale and you say, we're in the universe, you can see the walls of the universe. Yeah, 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 I can see the walls of my room. But you're always in the center of the universe. So if you walk across here, the walls shift, so you're always in the center. That can't be, blah, blah, blah. And so you, there's this string of philosophy, insights for which people are sensitized to get out and attack. So they're in a Alsatian or German Shepherd ready to rip the pants off anyone who should dare set outside their cultural bubble. They're going across there. However, that being said, you obviously don't talk to that person. Don't mention the war. I think it's a classic thing. You're talking to Germans after World War II. Just don't, or Japanese, just let's just not mention the war, because we just, it's not going to go anywhere. So this is a sort of not mention the war thing. That being said, it is that if you do mention it, it's you got to get it underway. And so it's these methodologies of getting it underway. And as I said, that's the strategic remainders. The major strategy is that given that this person is their teaching strategy to lead someone forward, their way is telling someone who does actually understand the maths to fuck off. Well, that strategy is not going to work. We're going to have to come up with something else. And perhaps, thanks for auditioning, don't call us, we'll call you. And so you get this basic thing that humans are not good enough to teach the science that we've developed. And fortunately, we can build these social robots. So the idea that I have, or it's not that I have, it's the only idea left, is that we build social robots which are sufficiently intelligent and smart, smarter than a teacher. We can actually build a robot smarter than a teacher. Dead set, easy, easy peasy, and there's a way of doing it. Okay, so if you can say you've got this suitcase of strategies and you want to get here, you want to sort of introduce people to the strategic outlook of how you got there. And so we come to the thing of what is going on. These people are very aggressive. If I say in my head, my mind of, like, you know how you have socially accepted things of sort of a science sphere. In the sort of equivalent social sphere, these people are child abusers. They're self-centered, and they don't know what their ignorance is doing because they fundamentally don't respect the child. And so they're sort of like child abusers, but science abusers, and they really don't care about the welfare of the child or of science. And I want to start off with these. I think I have these four examples. So you got the strategy, but you need a sort of meta strategy to connect where you are to this strategic suitcase and these ideas that you're going to pull out and push forward. And so the interface is a strategic outlook, a strategic organisation, and then your suitcase of strategy, so we don't know where we're going. Okay, now the first one is the sort of concept I have to explain this fuck off is this negligence extrapolation, I would say, of bias, but I would say of the concrete is sort of like the massive bias, educational bias, the concrete feeling that if it's concrete, that must be the way through as standard practice. So I call it neck asp. Now, I don't know why I do that. I think it's partly for memory, and N for negligent, E for extrapolation. That is, I have so much thought, and I extrapolate that thought into the area. So I have my thought, that I have the model of the atom, which is hard and solid things. I extrapolate that from that concrete. I have this bias of the concrete, and I use that to extrapolate the fact that your nucleus and your electrons have surfaces, and they're just like that. I have extrapolation. It's negligent. Now, it's not necessarily that the employee is negligent, the company is negligent, or the culture is negligent. And it's sort of this trigger, this sort of, if you use the word negligent, it sort of triggers two sorts of things. It can, if someone is actually really negligent, they're aggressive and they shout at you and they slam the door and they start attacking you. All right, and that's usually a sign that you are onto someone who's a bit of a crook. Or if there is negligence, and this comes to attention of the board or the quality control system, saying, "Oh, look, we'll take it on board. Indeed, we get a large variety of signals and noise, and sometimes it's misinterpretation, sometimes it's other things, it's not negligence, but we'll take it on board. It's definitely worth investigating, because whatever you do is risks, and risk thing is a risk process. So part of management of the risk is the actual, you know, direct management of the risk, but the process of that risk management in is in there. So depending on your professionality, the use of the word negligence will either apply the fuck off thing, or it will, if the place is professionally run, trigger a risk reduction process. Now, it may well be that if someone fans up and says, "Ah, oh, that negligent," it's not there. It may have a criteria that it has to be peer-reviewed negligence. That is, it goes to the press. A group of people consistently says it's negligent to go forward. Now, we've got the extrapolation of concrete, and as standard practice, this means that as standard practice is now taught, it's intergenerational. As standard practice means that it's intergenerational ignorance. So you've got intergenerational unemployment, intergenerational health problems, i.e., I eat so much fat food that I'm indolent, and my children don't get enough exercise, and I don't know what to do. I feed them more fat food, and then they have children who are similarly fat. And this is a dreadful concept. You know, it's loaded and stuff like that. And there's intergenerational unemployment. I'm unemployed. I just sat at home watching TV. I'm not doing anything interesting, so my kids see that, and it goes across. And this is dreadful. Yeah, I don't know how much of that is prejudice. However, I do say that people have learned an incorrect definition of the atom or the sun or the universe, and they get it. They get a mark for it. Then they teach their children of it. Their children become teachers. And indeed, it's a very successful intergenerational ignorance. And so this is as ASP, as standard practice. So it's NECASP. Now, this is identification, but let's look at the mechanism behind it. So now I should say that I'm doing cognitive therapy, and it's taken a while to write things out and practice, get across. I want to actually do the process to give you a few examples and then give you a plausible conclusion. So the first one of a NECASP is this incident. It's an incident, so it's real, it's valid, it's not apocryphal, it actually happened. I said a very important moment in science is the moment when Francis Bacon wrote New Atlantis and set down the basis for American colonies and the and the Royal Society, and also the analysis of it set to Jonathan Swift's Gulliver's Travels. There's a whole series of things that it set off. And someone who wanted to, or for various reasons, said, that's incorrect. He didn't write New Atlantis, Shakespeare did. Also offered, let it be known that they had done a master's in English literature and stuff like that. And then they left it off. Now, the problem is that Shakespeare had been dead for 6 years when Francis Bacon wrote this. And Francis Bacon physically wrote it and died writing it. So it was it was published posthumously. So there's a whole series of things, and so to get the full thing, they had to go back and search his gear and get across. Now, I've got to really wonder on that last section. So that's one thing. So this is what I call that person for some reason is doing a extrapolation. So I did eventually have a series of things. What I should do is HSC marking. So the high school certificate is the end of year marking, and there's your internal marks get rearranged, and a sliding chirp is applied to them, which shifts, keeps their relative position, but chirps them, so the spacing can increase down the bottom and shrink at the top to raise the average. So it sort of like tunes the average. That's how it's done. However, the people doing it say, how it's actually done is that I have a system of marks, and in order to get the same range and average, I then only take the ranking position of those marks and place them across. And because of this, it gives me a license to basically be corrupt and twiddle things, sort of change the rankings of two people, go in and do all these sorts of things. So what they have done is they have got this bias of a concrete model that they do understand, and they have simply extrapolated it, and they have done it as standard practice because they have that's the way they were taught, that's why they're teaching the next generation. So there's a series of, oh yeah, I do have to say the other thing. So that's one aspect of it. A third story is related to the suitcase. One of the things I wanted to do is set up a global museum, sit on the scale, which would sort of blow places apart. And I wanted to actually have a launch at a mate's place, or mate's Sheila's place. And it wasn't going ahead. He just was really objecting to everything. And what he'd done is, this particular person, there you go. What he'd done is he'd assessed that, he'd come to the conclusion that the Big Bang really didn't happen. And, yes. And so, in the late 70s, early 80s, there was a cult of people who said the Big Bang didn't happen. Don't believe the Kobe results, and it's not going to prove. They're not going to find this data, which they eventually did, but he had this book saying the Big Bang never really happened. And he was in this conspiracy theory. The reason is a religiously based, right-wing reconstructionist thing as part of destroying your faith in scientists. If they've got the Big Bang wrong, they've also got climate change wrong, they've got this, and I can just go on and just hoover up complete shit around the place. And the fact that this chap I'm doing is, he sends me email after email, and I go through, disprove it and stuff like that. And it's surprising that at what point we're just slowly shifting him across to saying, oh, because I'm not making a big song and dance, I'm just saying, oh, this is incorrect due to this aspect, this is false here. So he's going across, but this person lives in this world where they can basically pick what they want and have extrapolate that right across everything else. So the extrapolation is an aggressive extrapolation, and actually crashes through evidence that the scientists are looking at now in other theatres. It goes across, and it's also a standard practice. Now the final aspect of negligence as extrapolation of the concrete as standard practice is obviously in the classroom. And this is where I have a model, physical model of the atom, and I say here I have a physical model of the sun, a globe, and there's no difference. I have a physical model of the universe, there's no difference. Now, of course, one of the problems is you can't have that because you are using abstract mathematics and you're not allowed to use that. And so there's a whole series of things. Now, you've got those four things, and I'm going to put the question to you out there. I'm going to provide the answer to it, I hope, as what do you think is the core thing driving people to create a pseudo-reality bubble around themselves? That is, a feeling of reality around themselves. What is it that goes there? Now, before I leave that idea with you, you've got those four examples. What is the example of, did Shakespeare get out of the grave and write this book? Did the Big Bang not happen? Did the HSC Marx, it's miraculous that the actual people who write the website on how it's do, are they actually conspiracy theory for it? And are teachers actually right, making a call on reality and teaching fraud? Okay, these are the things happening. I don't know whether you judge me right or wrong, but what theory, if they were doing this, and I assure you they are definitely doing this, what would be motivating them? Now, I should stop at this point in time. Obviously, I've, part of cognitive rehab, gone through this and structured it and written it and stuff like that. What I want to do now is stop and actually give you an allegory. And you're driving across in your Tesla car, it's electric, it's not making any sound, accelerating fantastically. Your Google Maps come up and says go check this car yard out, and you go into it, and we're not telling you what's different, but you go into it. In there, you say, my God, they've got a Model T in their showroom. And then your friend says, we'll check out the window, and the entire place is full of Model T's, and these are vintage cars, and they say range 20 kilometers, guaranteed to make everybody else in your Amish village green with envy. This person says, there's a poster up there saying, much better than my horse and cart. And you go, oh, are these paid actors here? You go and speak to them, and you say, what do you think that is in the drive I've driven up in? And what do you think those things are zooming across out there? Oh, look, I've heard of it, but look, really, that's really not part of our scene, and just fuck off. In fact, if you don't move your car out here, I'll get a sledgehammer and smash it to fucking... I'll really destroy it. However, you talk with them a bit longer, and they say, well, you can't really expect people to understand the electric car or this modern stuff, partly because they will never learn to be a salesman in this car yard. And if you talk about rechargeable batteries to them, that when our customers come in and drive a Model T there, they won't understand. Look at all my salespeople, they're my relatives and friends. In fact, that's how I have power over them, by, I've forgotten what the word is. Nepotism. I was about to say necrophilia. No, not quite. Nepotism. That's how it operates. This is the Bible of nepotism. And essentially, they've got to learn this way of thinking. And it's called NECPAS. NECASP. And you say, would that happen to be negligent extrapolation of concrete as standard practice? I don't know. I don't think anyone's ever analysed exactly what we're doing. I'd have to just check out whether that's... No, that's not the... this is not in the analysis of what we're doing. We're not doing it. But the major thing is that if you go and talk to our salesman and convince him the world is different, that poor person will starve and die because they cannot earn a living in this car lot. And so essentially what happens, it goes on, and what's that? Well, we've got this latest display here and this computer, this paddle. It's miraculous. No one understands how it works. No one understands how this computer system and these walkie-talkies, no one understands how it works. It's magic. And you sort of say, well, do you think the actual person who manufactured it, who made it, who made all these things, would know? And the car salesman would go on, and you would essentially never get there. Now, at a particular point in time, you say, look, I think I might buy one of those bottled teas just to shut them up. And they say, and they do their sales thing, and they'll let you retreat and discuss. Well, they know that they've got you cornered. You're going to cough up money and you're going to buy the Model T. Because that's the only thing there. Because they've actually smashed your Tesla. They've destroyed everything. And they have been able to argue and humiliate everyone around you to destroy you and capture you. However, this is when it comes to, we have to really start from scratch and not build a new Tesla, but build a new humanity, a new way of going things. And the fundamental way is converting things to maths and looking at the solution space. Some of the solution space is reversals. And bear in mind that startups have the problem that they require a path of convincing people to fund it every step of the way. So a startup within the car yard has to actually get people inside the car yard putting money in and believing your heretical story all the way through. And some of it will fail to allow their people in, because they really don't want you to succeed. They want to, they need you, but they're not going to succeed. So it's going to be a horrible carnage. In fact, that pile of bones there are all the startups which have done. So, startups, perhaps not a good idea. Perhaps not a good idea in this variety of things. So this is the, you're in the room of negotiation, you're working your way out of it, MacGyvering your way out of it. Startup, finish down. Look at where you want to finish, and you work downwards rather than funneling, sort of going from a board base out, from a point you go out, and you see as many opportunities as you can come up, and rather than select for talent and resources to get there just for the startup. So just provide a sort of reverse matrix way of doing it, where you evaluate and you optimize the entire area to eventually pick a path out which cannot be seen. So this is sort of a bit like a military invasion. You can be like the US Marines. You can go, with your Ospreys coming over the top, the amphibious thing, and you go, yell, and a thing, and you go straight. I think it's the Marines' motto is towards the chaos. Or you can be a bit more like the SAS, who go up, and they go up to trig observation points and actually integrate in with an intelligence process to go up. And that's what we're doing. And part of the SAS approach is to actually say, hang on, perhaps we need a different structure, a different organisation. And that different organisation is the Advanced Concepts Institute. That is, its mission is to identify, deploy and deliver advanced concepts to the human race. And to do it with these three principles. Now, the first principle we've said is the finish down principle. That's where you have no input of resources, but you cultivate or condition or groom resources such they might go in a direction where they're under no influence of force. If they've got no demand, they can actually move quite easily across it there. But I said there was going to be three ways. The major thing is that there is a hell of a lot of personnel resources. These are retired professors, retired people who have been kicked out of the car yard because they're obsessed with the car yard. These people have been trained. They've got these assets. So these are assets, but they're not necessarily directed in the direction you want to. And so this is the concept of recycling. So you've got myself and all the directors of the Institute having skills, but with no necessary time. And the major thing is that wherever they are, you've got a direction that you want them to go, and all you do is say, look, that's where I want to go. Have you got there? Your time? If they don't want to go there, it really doesn't matter. You don't have the resources to push them or integrate or anything like that. And essentially, as you go back, you see what they need to go across there. So there's recycling, finish down. And in between is networking. So the third strategy is that these people need to, over time, develop their network capacity shaped in a direction that will eventually deliver what's required. So there's this entire thing. So this is obviously a completely obvious thing. This is you're not going to seek capital, you're not going to do this, but you are running a fairly complex program. Now what actually happens is that startups tend to actually pick projects because that's all they can handle, because they've got to have a project to deliver on a project, and they have to communicate the project. Whereas the finish down thing has a series of interlocking projects which form a program, and there may be, say, 20 sections to a project and 20 projects coming across, leaving you 400 potential tasks to be done. And then that is your wide palette to integrate people in and say, do you want to have a look at that? Can we go across here? And then as that process has gone ahead, you do have off to the side, so the central strategy is to go and do reconnaissance to see whether you can produce a social robot. Can you actually produce a self-teaching device? An STD, sexually transmitted device, self-teaching device, an STD. I like it. Can you produce it? And the answer is yes. And thread across this, you've got one dimension of achieving that. I've got the other dimension of cognitive rehab, getting the structure across. Now, what in actual fact happens is that this fractured smashed up, mash up, multi-dimensional thing which comes together really actually does map a bit of my cognitive distress of having your central sort of front desk of your brain a bit smashed, a bit kamikazed, but the other actions of your brain just listening, picking up, processing things, and going at a very slow state. So I might be studying a bit of maths or reading an article, just enough to burn me up in a day. And it's sort of like it's paralleling my own cognitive rehab to pick these things up. And of course, you overlay it on this, so you need people skills. And the problem is that you're never going to have people skills I really want to use the word psychotic, but this is there is this theory that there are these factors and imbalances which lead you in a system of thinking that you how to get out of here, you sort of behave, you know, this is all really complicated, that your lifestyle, your worldview leads you to make decisions and interact in such a way which leads to you being a fucked bully. And in essence, that's what we have produced. We have produced an education system which fails to do truth, but does do bullying. And their major thing is to train the next generation of bullies up. Now, that, for me, is not something that I want to stop. It's sort of like you're in the village, the next village on has got bank robberies and shootings going all the time. You're sort of like, oh, look, I think I might go out and plough the field a little. Let it go across. I don't want to necessarily go into it. But you do have to understand, for when you are developing a completely new way of doing things and you're not actually putting your resources into necessarily fitting in to what is essentially a psychotic and mentally sick thing. I do think, I mean, people in the system say look, there is great sickness here. There is physical evidence that there is great sickness here. And in a certain sense, this sort of answers the posed question, why would people do NECASP without that triggering thing? What's directing it? It's because when they can't see the future, they stick their head down and they must plough through. The objective, obviously, if you're not teaching truth, what is the alternative? And the alternative is power. Now, this is a rather delightful thing. So this area here used to be the old cinema. There's no one in there at the moment. I'll have to get back into the safety of my little house, and it's really interesting. There's no one here in the streets. It is completely deserted. Go stuff yourself, COVID-19. Yeah, like, I don't know what's happened. I think, look, I should just on the side here. Like, there is this tempo of trauma which has got within the Australian population, and it really goes right back to come to Australia and it's a penal colony and there's not enough food. Like, the threat of trauma is deeply embedded, and there's this sort of happy-go-lucky, welcoming aspect of Australia, because we are fundamentally traumatized. And you can see this here. There is no one here. There's a service station there. There's hardly any cars on the road. There's one or two. This one's got a car. There's two cars on the servo. That's pretty amazing. Obviously a complete fuckwit there. In as much, I don't know what he's doing. I just tell you, people obviously don't touch money. Well, some people might. Everyone's gone contactless. So people, and what would happen is that if you buy food service station, you'd buy it wrapped up, and then you'd hand sanitize the outer surface of it. So I saw someone there just buying a milkshake and or something like that with walking to it. So that's a little bit difference here. So that's the overall thing. So your answer is why do people fall in love? Why do people make things up? And the answer is that they're incapable of knowing the truth, yet without knowing the truth, they still want power. They're saying, basically, to become a fully fledged member of society, I have to really understand truth first and be just, or I can queue jump and just use, rather than actually speak truth, speak suppression. So this particular person who was putting in on about Shakespeare, her only thing that she wanted to do was to suppress me. And it so turned out that later on I found out that she indeed did not believe this Shakespeare stuff. But at no point is she going to actually change anything. The aim was, and she hoped that I didn't understand it, was for power and for suppression. In the car yard, with the big mallet, having a go at the Tesla. That'll prove it. That'll prove that Teslas and the Model Ts are here to stay. Again, if you look at the teachers who are doing these sorts of things, you show them the web page, just angry, shouting at you, and how dare you show us the department web page and stuff like that. Whatever it is, again, a sledgehammer to Tesla across here. And perhaps there is this thing about the fundamental assessment. This is with the friends which I'm helping get through here. The Big Bang didn't happen. Okay, well, you're just one scientist. And in fact, how do you know anything you say is true? Because it's abstract. You can't go head to it. Again, this is I'm interested in doing something, and to do what I want to do, I require power, and that power means that truth which stands in the way, I have to destroy. Now, it also goes for all this idea that none of the stuff which is taught in schools is actually quantum mechanically realistic. It's not realistic. That is not that it's a poor model. It's incorrect. Paul, now the idea is to say that cannot be true. And people would say, look, this thing that you built here, if it's obviously working, but if it was significant, you'd be famous. Or if you indeed did use supercomputers to calculate the world's smallest molecule, you'd be famous. Well, the fact is that device is using quantum mechanics to operate, and the fact is that I have done it, and it has gone ahead, but it's more a statement of this, my position. It's more stating your position of your intransigence. It's more stating that I declare as a constitutional amendment that NECASP is God, is my particular God, and as it gives me a right to overrule, as it gives me a right to overrule truth in this localized area, I, by power of extrapolation, extrapolate that to overrule him. So that's what has happened, and we are at the stage where they think they're buying model T, and it looks as though we've got a sheet of paper, it looks as though that we're trying to work out our finances because we desperately want to build model T, and we desperately want to be part of them, and that's what it is. Looking through the glass, if you're inside the glass with this, it is a point of where we're at the equation point on a whiteboard. That is where you've done the lab prototype, you've done the basics, and you have said the value of this has to be between these two factors. It's got to be between 3.6 and 4.2, and the value, let's call a likely value of 3.8. So it's going to work, and then this goes from point to point, and you get across, and you get the feasibility. And at what point is a point comes in where there's this peacefulness comes across you. You know what you're trained to do. Let's do it. And you look outside and there's not machinery there. It means simply that you're going to machine your way through. Now, it's sort of very much similar to a little bit the SpaceX view in terms of, in order to do this, we need rockets which come down, which re-enter. We need satellites which fit this and stuff like that, and we're doing it. And there's that going across, and people are going. So there's people on the outside looking at you in the car yard, hoping that you can do it. But we're definitely going to do it. So this sort of explains the rebuild, and it's sort of an interesting thing that I had to sort of rebuild in parallel, sort of reality to suit my brain, which can go forward, which is a very much shattered brain with these little idea sections going ahead. And it's sort of like I had one barely competent person, and sort of after the brain stuff, I've got three or four really incompetent, sleepy, dodgy people. But let's hope that Team Me can get through. Thanks a lot for listening.
Another podcast, another story comes to a close. It's been a pleasure sharing this moment in time with you. May you discover truly amazing things, understand them, and tell others. Thanks for listening.